you very much, Tom. I'm going to be very brief because I don't see sandwiches, and I know we're going through cell phone withdrawal right about now. So, Michael, I'm glad you're here because this could be an issue for most of us. Just a couple of things. I'm pleased to represent half the funding source for this outstanding work that the Crime and Justice Institute, and particularly Len Engel, has performed. It's a great contribution to the Commonwealth, and I think it does lay out a roadmap. There's nothing I can say or summarize that hasn't already been said or summarized, so I'm not going to go through that exercise. I just will say that this is hard work. We have a long road to hoe to bring about some of the changes that have been outlined in this report. And I want to particularly address some of the concerns of Representative Eugene O'Flaherty, because I think he made some outstanding points about the fact that there is always that community concern about what we're doing in criminal justice, and we have to find a middle ground. So what I would encourage and what I would implore is that if there are problems and issues with the kinds of ideas and suggestions that we're laying out in terms of advancing this work, then we need to identify what those problems are, we need to identify what those issues are, and we need to work together and come together to try to resolve whatever those concerns might be. Because we can beat this issue to death. And people like John Larrabee, myself, and Bill Leahy, and Mike Ash have been beating it to death for 30 years. And we're still standing. But we need to move this issue off center. And the only way we're going to do that is to make sure everybody's issues and concerns are addressed rationally, honestly, candidly. And when we get to that point, then I think we will finally move off center. With that being said, Kevin Burke is with us. I'm glad he could join us. I'm sure he's had a busy day. Kevin, if you come up and sort of wrap up this session.
Thank you, Tom. I don't have any busier day than this panel has. It's an extraordinary turnout, and I would like to thank you for the invitation to give some brief closing remarks. They'll be brief. I notice how it works with Mike Ash. Jay Ash calls him when he's going over his time, and I think Jay just gave Mary Beth Heffernan, Undersecretary Heffernan, my cell phone number, so should I exceed my time, I'll get a call as well. But I'd like to thank the Crime and Justice Institute for its work, its hard work, its report that allows us to clarify and organize and update our thinking when it comes to reentry. You know, I look out over this crowd, none of the conclusions in that report probably came as a surprise to any of us. Maybe the numbers are different, maybe the numbers are more compelling, but the general conclusions are the same. But having said that, I don't think you should be disheartened, because all you have to do is take a look at the leaders to my left, this panel, and realize that we're really poised at a moment in time where we can move forward, make some of those steps, take some of those steps Tom just referred to. You don't and wouldn't have gotten this panel 5 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe even 2 years ago. You wouldn't have gotten this panel. Now we have people through their own thinking, their own hard work, and their own experiences recognizing the law enforcement community, prosecution community, corrections, the legislative community, public health, corrections all the way down the line, that we can come up with some solutions to the problem of reentry. And we're at a stage, I think, because we have the kind of leader in Governor Patrick, where we can begin the business of mission conversion. And as mentioned, mission conversion, not building our way out of a crime problem or housing, only housing criminals, but really dealing with the issue of recidivism and crime, will require some patience. It will require some risk-taking. But we have the people here that can take leadership roles, or willing to take risks in dealing with that conversion. Steps are already being taken in that area. I think Representative O'Flaherty and Senator Creedon, referred to the discussions the governor's office have had, the district attorney's offices, our discussions in our office with police departments about how we deal with the impact, the negative impact of mandatory sentencing. And we will be standing up soon together because we have a basic agreement to begin to take first steps to reforming mandatory sentences so that they do not get in the way of effective reentry. We have those first leadership steps that we're taking right now. We are at a good moment. It will take patience. It will take, as I've said, some risk. So I appreciate your sense of patience. But I also want you to understand that you have leaders in there here to my left today. I mean, Maureen Walsh was kind enough to say that I directed. Well, I don't really direct anything. I talk to Maureen, I talk to Mike Ash, I talk to Harold Clark and say, what should I do? And then I follow their lead. And so far, I think it's the best advice I've ever gotten, certainly in their areas of expertise. These are the leaders. You know, with due respect to the speaker, I think if it comes to a criminal justice issue, Representative O'Flaherty is going to be sitting at his right hand helping him make a decision. These are the leaders. They have the experience. They have the voice. And they are received by so many people that we intend to take advantage of in next months, weeks, and years. So I'd like to thank them for their leadership, their willingness to appear, and thank the Crime and Justice Institute for this forum, for this report. And I feel like I didn't have to read the report. I feel like John Larrabee delivers it every month to me in one form or another. But thank you all.